All right. Brass decks. I think I can get one more in before the regional roundup. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Ma'am.
Mr. Johnson, Saturday was the African Awareness Pageant for primary schools. Red Tank Schools took part. It was the second year.
Mm-hmm.
St. Joseph was crowned the winners again.
Okay.
Last year when they had the pageant, after they were crowned, patrons from that were rooting for one of the schools reacted in a manner that was unprofessional. Throw cheers, curse the queen and king, even curse the teacher. This year it was different. Before the school was named, patrons began to walk out. Okay, we said, well, no drama this year. But Mr. Johnson, lo and behold, when we woke up on Sunday morning, some person, I didn't know he's not a child because I don't very much a child would do that. My daughter found her car scratched up. I mean, literally scratched up. It's hurting me.
Your daughter was a part of the pageant?
She was, yeah, she represented St. Joseph.
St. Joseph, okay. This year?
Yes, again this year.
Mm-hmm, okay.
She came, washed the car Saturday. Of course, she was back and forth at St. Leonard's, washed the car, got a shower, and went back. Car was okay. She packed up on Saturday night, all the stuff, came home. But that is what she found Sunday morning. Mr. Johnson, we're here to know. Because of some person was rooting for a school, and that school did not win, a person or person stuck up on themselves to do that. And I'm hoping they didn't do it in front of children. Because then we are talking about how our children are getting on. But some of our children are living what they learn. And it's the judge's decision is final. It's time we adults upset, defeat. And doing these kind of things are not good. I mean, no, she has to go and look for a bodywork man, paint, and money to fix her car. It's not right. The 9 other schools that were there, because there were 10, they know who the schools. The car was parked in a dark area. The lighting was not that good where the car was parked. Mr. Johnson, I'm so thanking God this morning that none of her brothers were there and present to see whoever was doing it. Not Mr. Johnson. I would be crying this morning. I would be crying this morning for my sons.
Well, ma'am, I just hope that, as you said, it was not someone who was displeased with the outcome and decided to vent their spleen or their rage on your daughter's car. I really am up. I don't know. Ma'am, we need to look at ourselves seriously and our reaction or behavior. There's something that seems to have gone totally wrong with us as a people. And I don't know what it is. There are those who claim that it's the last years and the end of time, and I would hope I'm not wrong for the end of time. But anyway. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We have the regional roundup next, and more of your calls on the Monday edition. We go till 1. Stay with us. 434-1790, the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Graham Vaughan is a technical operator producer. And we're on until 1. We have a break again at 12:30 for the lunchtime edition of the latest. Brass Tacks, good morning. Good afternoon, sorry now.
Good morning and good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon to you, sir. It is good afternoon.
I think age is creeping up on us all, ain't it?
Well, in my case, it done creep already. It walking strong now.
You have to check it.
It walking strong now, man. It creep along.
Yeah.
Go on beyond creep. Yes, sir.
Mr. Johnson, I two issues. I felt gratified this morning when I hear you trying to bring some balance to a historical perspective pertaining to women in our community who have done well at the highest level. because it seems to me, sir, that many of our young people, and I always say when I address these programs, I am addressing especially young people, not the political, you know, hard words and so on. Because
do you count yourself people, among those, sir?
Not really.
I just ask it.
I might be. I stand firmly behind my country. I don't stand behind political parties.
All right.
But I thought you did a quite good job in letting young people know that females have also made significant contributions to our community at the highest level.
Absolutely.
And for those people who want to project that idea that women have been cast aside and so on, I think it's just not really it's not accurate because I have always said, before we learn African history, we should learn our own history and Caribbean history. As far as I'm concerned, African history should come third. But it seems that we're more interested in African history and culture than we are in local and Caribbean history and culture. And I thought you did quite a job this morning on that. And I would just like to repeat the verse of a poem and in a like manner, repeat you some other things that I think our young people should know. It says, lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And departing, leave behind us footprints. Mr. Johnson, I would like to call there to extol the memory of some of our outstanding citizens in this country. Many of them have gone on, but they have left a name that many of us will be called and we should carry for. Remember the late Dr. G.G. Leacock, who was a surgeon specialist at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. Enough could not be said about him and his service to success as a surgeon. Then we had some magistrates who were not afford to enforce the law without fear or fear. We had a gentleman called Perry, and we had one called Harris. They were on the tongues of Rebbe Mortis in Barbados. You remember that. Then we had a police traffic cop, a one Corporal Cyrus, who was known to every driver in Barbados. Because you're laughing. You know this is factual. I'm not making up anything.
We had some
legal luminaries in the court system, the likes of Earl Walton Barr, G.B. Niles. And on the government side, you had A.K. Walker and W.W. Reese, who represent the government. Nowadays, it takes just a feather to knock off the government side. We don't seem to have no representation anymore. And Mr. Johnson, finally, there were some judges that I would like to recall. Sir Donald Jackson, Sir Kenneth Stobie, and Sir Stanley Gomes. Outstanding jurists in their time. People who would remember, not because they sat on the bench and had a job, but because of the illumination, the elaboration that they brought to their jobs, and many young lawyers learned a lot from them. And I am saying, sir, that nowadays it's very difficult to find people that you can really say, well, you know, these people are standouts.
That's not true, sir. Don't do that. You see, that's where you spoil your argument when you say you can't find them today. So they're there. One of the reasons why perhaps we look at those that are around today is because far too often what we hear more about are the mistakes they've made, the times when they slipped up, and all sorts of gossip. So we have young police officers. There's a gentleman, I don't know what his current rank is. He was a station sergeant. He was a sergeant. I hope he is by now an inspector. Who's an accident reconstruction expert. The guy is a gentleman. He is conscientious. He carries himself well. He is a credit to the force. We've had conductors of the Royal Barbados Police Force band and musicians
who Captain Raisin.
Very much, sir. So the thing is, there are some young ones who are making their mark, and perhaps when my son is my age, he'll look back and say, those were good men. What we have to understand is that every generation needs to know, yes, on whose shoulders they stand. I asked my producer to give me some time towards the end of the program because I didn't want to do it in the at the start of the program, but I will do it eventually. And the thing is that you said we need to learn Barbados and Caribbean history before we go looking at other histories. I think what we need to understand is that no history is better than any other. And when someone gives their story, their interpretation of events, rather than saying it's either fiction or we don't agree with the person or the account, we need to put several accounts on the table so that our people can judge for themselves the accuracy or the lack thereof of the accounts. For example, if someone from the United States, let's take the President of the United States, wanted to talk about his achievements, do you think everybody in the United States would agree with him? Reading the stories in the newspaper, I know they would not. The lady who called, there was a gentleman who said he had seen something on the BBC. I don't believe everything I see on the BBC, sir, or hear from the BBC, because they speak from a perspective. And I may not agree with their perspective. So I would listen to their perspective and I'd say, okay, that's how you saw it. That's how we need to look at what's happening around us. You're absolutely correct. There were magistrates, judges, justices of the peace, police officers who would go into communities on the weekends and go to households that they knew had troublesome children.
Community groups.
And sit and ask them, you know, so what happened with the boy? You know, is he doing this? Is he doing that? Send him over and I'll help him with his lessons if you can't help him. Mm-hmm. There were ordinary people who did that. Ladies who had no formal education, but a love for children, who would put them to sit down while their parents went in tongue and read to them, teach them how to write.
Yeah.
But we've lost those people and we've replaced it with electronic equipment.
Mr. Johnson, that's the point I was trying to make.
I was just telling you, don't wipe out the young ones, because there's some new ones as well coming up.
Yeah, there's some who are coming, yes. But you see, with this social internet service we have, it is pushing more and more of our local people into the background, because they begin to
foreigners
as the people to be copied.
And the people recently, who they get the information from, yes.
Yeah, recently I listened to an interview coming out of Florida, pertaining to those parents who had just lost those young people in their prime, mm-hmm. by some guy, I don't know if he's mad or what. But when these parents were interviewed, Mr. Johnson, they were asked, what shall we do now? What shall we do about this massacre that's taking place in the States? And you know, Mr. Johnson, they mentioned all kinds of things. They mentioned greater security, more policemen, higher fences, equipment, they call it now, search and seizure and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they're going to write the president, they're going to write Congress. Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson, you know, not one of those parents at any time said anything about moral or spiritual upliftment of their children. Not a word. I don't see, I've often said, what separates us from the cat, the dog, and the banana tree is that we have a spiritual being. Each one of us is a human being. And we have a connectivity with our neighbors or friends or families, and also with the one who created us. And unless our young people have a realization of that, unless they realize that they are part of a larger and greater civilization, they're not here by themselves, because they might be disappointed or frustrated with life, that we are all bound by a common thread called love and consideration. And I was gratified last night to hear the chief education officer. I don't know if you heard her, because you don't listen to TV particularly, you said.
I don't.
But I heard the chief education officer, in her closing remarks, made a very, very important statement. A lot of public figures have been taken away from it. We have in this school called principals, who are the chief executive officers of these schools. I find nowadays that many of these, though she didn't say this, I am saying this, I find that a lot of our principles are unheard, unseen, and the many of them seem almost pointless to stand up front and say, look, I run this school. I am in charge here. I am prepared to do what I have to do, regardless of if I displease the parents or if I displease the children. I am going to
or
do
the
what
board.
Is best for the school.
Or the board. And the ministry?
Yes.
Oh, I hope you had that part too. Because isn't the parents they're afraid of, sir?
Yeah, because he's the executive officer and the unions as well. They're afraid of the unions as well. But what I'm saying, finalizing that, what I'm saying, is that the chief education officer mentioned she's calling on the Barbados Christian Council of Clergymen and other people who are prepared to help to volunteer to come into the schools to connect with these children. Mr. Johnson, we've had entertainers in the school. We've had collectionists in the school. We've had former drug lords in the school. We've had former drug addicts in the school. I am saying the time has come to introduce people with a moral and spiritual side to communicate with these children.
What makes you think that the Calypsonians don't have a moral and spiritual side, sir? What makes you think that the reformed drug lords don't have a moral and spiritual side? Sir, listen, when he came, he didn't choose moral and spiritual people, you know? He went to get fishermen. You know how many people ask, what are you doing with these rumbibbers and fishermen? The same, and that's the reason why they nail him to a cross. Sir, the problem we have is that we learn nothing from this book that we keep talking about, you know. We have learned nothing from it. When the creator that you talk about decided to make man, according to the book, he didn't get diamonds and pearls and he got dirt, mud.
Right.
So if he wants to send a message to youth who are astray, what makes you think he'll send a moral and spiritual person? He will send the people who they listen to and who they know. The problem is, are they carrying the right message? Do we know what the message is? So let me tell you this, right? I'm sorry, I'm going to step on my soapbox for half a second. I hope I don't fall off. Here's my problem, sir. You see this thing known as advertising?
Mm-hmm.
We have allowed people to shape our thinking to the point where advertisers decide what I should listen to and how I should listen to it. And unfortunately, you know, you talk about principals of schools not standing up. There's too few people in my profession, and I can get licks for it, but I can take my licks, who are willing to stand up and say to the advertising community, you could banish me if you want to banish me. You could refuse to give me a job to read your commercials if you want to, but here's the point. If you're trying to tell me to buy insurance from XYZ company, tell me in a manner that I will understand. Don't ask anybody to sing me a jingle that I don't get because I don't listen to that kind of music. They're not reaching me, so you're not talking to me. We have suddenly decided that the youth market is the only market to go after. So people between the ages of 45 and 60 dead. So you're going to tell me to clean up my yard by singing to me in a genre of music I don't listen to. You're going to tell me to catch the bus or to take public transport rather than drive my car in a jingle in a music that I don't listen to. So to me, all this thing about violence and shooting one another, advertisers pushing a agenda that says it's cool to have a gun. It's cool to be this. It's cool to be that. And the message, unfortunately, is resonating with those who don't have a social conscience. And rather than tackling it from that area, we blame radio stations, we blame teachers, we blame the church, we blame the parents, we blame everybody. But we don't fix the problem.
Mr. Johnson, I endorse everything that you have said. You're a person that I have a lot of regard for. As not only, I don't know you personally, but if I listen to you, I see you as a moderator. In the mode that I see moderators, you correct, you direct, and you inform. I don't like moderators who use themselves as sung words for other people. And sometimes you interject and inject some of your own person, and people might take offense at it. I am not against listening.
They do.
I'm not against listening to somebody who has an alternative idea, because that doesn't knock down mine. They're against the stand up too. But I have often said since I came back from overseas, and I'm always mentioning this, I came back here for a reason. I could have been up there, maybe I've been in a hole in the ground somewhere freezing. But the fact is that I have warned the educators here, do not pin your hopes on electronic gadgets and science and technology to create good citizens, because a human being has something more than an academic side. We also have a moral and a spiritual side. And we have, the same time, we're pushing the cell phones, we're pushing the laptops, we're pushing the tablets and so on, and children thinking that if they lock them in the room for 24/7, they're going to come out as rocket scientists, which is a joke. The point
I agree with you.
You have to raise these children from the time these children are small. You have to get inside their heads. I don't care what you, Mr. Johnson, you're there. We have a situation where a young child went into the kitchen. You might know something. Went into the kitchen and pulled down a saucer on itself. It's called itself. Unfortunately, it recovered. But this was the situation. The parent of the child, realizing that children can be very mobile, and he put a barrier between the dining room and the kitchen where the child could barely see top. He did not count for the possibility that the child is going to get taller. And eventually, the child climbed that barrier. When he was wandering in the shower, the child climbed the barrier, didn't even move it, and went and pulled down another soft on itself and scarred itself. So what I'm trying to say, sir, Mr. Johnson, is that children, you have to get inside your child's head.
Teach them.
You don't put barriers.
Nope.
You don't put barriers against
them. I agree with you on that, sir. So listen.
Get inside their head. Let them understand. That is wrong.
Yep.
That is not right.
And you talk to them. And you listen to them when they talk
to
you, too.
That's right. And they will understand. Children are not animals. And we treat children as though they're animals. Tie them here and do this and take this from them and take that from them. But you have to get inside the child's head. If you can get a child's mind, you can control that child's behavior.
You can get anybody's mind, you can control them. So I keep telling people that. Look, let me say to you, I remember one day when my son was, I don't know, three or four, he wanted to look at Nickelodeon. And he couldn't say Nickelodeon. So he handed me the remote control and mumbled something. And I said to him, when you learn to say Nickelodeon, you're going to look at Nickelodeon. And I put the remote control out of his reach. He walked to the television, turned his back to it, and reached his hand behind his back and changed volume, channel, up, down, without looking back. I have to put on my glasses to see the buttons at the bottom of the screen. The boy did it with his hand behind his back with an expression on his face that said, so you take the remote control, what do you think you do? That was the expression on his face. You know, you take the remote control, watch me change this television so you can't see what you're looking at. That was the expression on his face, and he was like about four. The point you're making, sir, is absolutely spot on, because far too many of us don't know what our children are looking at.
Nope.
We do not know what they're listening to. We don't understand the language they communicate in. And when people tell me children are babbling, I tell them they are not. We don't understand what they're saying. They know exactly what it is they're saying. So when a baby comes up to you and in an angry tone of voice goes, and starts swinging their hand about, where do you think they get that from? They get that from looking at you, swinging your hand about, and talking to somebody else.
Exactly.
So don't laugh at it. Don't joke at it. They're mimicking you. You have done that. You know, when a child who is three or four or two or three climbs up on your lap and start trying to kiss you with their mouth open, where you think they get that from? They ain't read it in a manual. They suddenly find out one day, I don't know why the two people in the studio are looking at one another and pointing. They suddenly get up one morning and discover it. They have obviously seen or known what it is they're doing. So all this finger pointing and thing that we just carry on with, sir, I just laugh. Honestly, I laugh. But anyhow, good talking to you, sir. I really am. You raised a point. I was going to do it at 5 minutes to one, but as we go to the latest, let me reach here for the email, because I put off reading it, and I'm going to read it to you. It came from Carl Moore, and he said, when I left Barbados Radio Fusion to help launch the Nation newspaper in 1973, Trevor Hollingsworth was a wet behind the ears teenager eager to learn as much as he could about broadcasting. I watched that gentle giant grow into a competent and dedicated professional, admired and respected by all. His name is on my list of outstanding technicians like Glenn Bryan, Clyde Clark, Wesley Borky Roach, Fillmore Lewis, Vic Brewster, Larry Mayers, James Wilson, Anthony Admiral Nelson, and Winston Jack Dare, who helped to make Barbados Radio Fusion and later iterations, the professional and highly respected institution revered by thousands of Barbadians and others in the Caribbean. I hope a suitable memorial has been set up to keep alive the contribution of those stalwarts. My condolences to Holly's family and former colleagues at River Road, Carl Moore. A pillar of this institution known as Barbados Relief Fusion Service Limited, now Starcom Network, is no longer there. My career was built on the backs of Wesley Roach, Borky, Trevor Hollingsworth, Holly, Tony Redmond, Reds, Mitch Mears, Michael Straker, Iceman. When you walked into an outside broadcast and you saw any of these gentlemen behind your back, or you knew one was in the studio somewhere, you knew you'd be better than you were. I've worked with Jack, I've worked with Admiral, I've worked with some of the younger ones. And indeed, we need to know on whose shoulders we stand. I remember one day doing a piece of foolishness on air, knocking the station off air, 104 at the time. And I did what a lot of my colleagues did. I said, we apologize for that bit of technical difficulty, and we resume our programming. My phone rang. The gentleman on the end of the line said, what's the technical difficulty you just had? And I mumbled some foolishness. I said, you do a piece of foolishness and you tell people technical difficulty? You had no technical difficulty. You did a piece of foolishness. Don't do it again. That was Borky. My first producer was also a giant of a man by the name of Leslie Sion. If I didn't have Leslie as a producer, I would not be sitting in this chair today. Because one day nobody called. Nobody knew who I was. Nobody cared to talk to me. And Leslie Sion said to me, just say what I say, son. Say after me, don't pause, just go. And he recounted an innings played by Sir Garfield Sobers in England. And I repeated it verbatim. Nobody in Barbados knew. I had not a clue what I was talking about. I still don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Most times they would tell you. But anyhow, that is what a producer does. A technical operator ensures that you're spot on, that your coughing doesn't go out on air, your laughter, your kicking the table does not go out on air. Holly was meticulous. Yes, he was picky, but he was picky because it was his job. And as I watched his health fail, the pride he took in his job never faltered. His dedication to what he did from age 19, I think, to his last days before he left, reflected someone who took pride in what he did. He could tell, spot a green verb before you drop it. And he would not let distortion pass for a job that was good enough. It had to be the best. Yes, as he got a little less capable, he got angry. And in the words of Paul Simon's boxer, remembered every glove that laid him down or cut him till he cried out in his anger and his shame and his pain, I am leaving, but the fighter still remains. To the perfect ones who couldn't see beyond the imperfections, on his behalf, I ask and I say sorry. And I hope you find it in your hearts to forgive him as you and I would like to be forgiven one day, because he needs to rest in peace. Lunchtime edition of The Latest comes next, and we'll end at 1. This is Down to Brass Tacks. 434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. And this says, I'm writing you from the Bronx, New York. To be brief, while I agree with many of the callers, I realize one important point. Most of the children today are being raised without the basic training that we were raised with back then. I was born in the baby boomers era. In those days, the whole village raised kids. We had to respect everyone, period. The teachers today can only do so much because parents are quick to curse the teachers instead of joining them for the betterment of their children. It's painful to watch what's happening in my country today. Sadly, it just keeps getting worse. Thanks. Brass Tacks, good afternoon. 434-1790. I am sure some of those would have taken a break for lunch, so. Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Johnson.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Yes, good afternoon. I want to say I am in agreement with what one of the callers tell you about Britain. Said it would like, they like to see at least the children get out and playing together for 1 hour a day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is, I was saying that too. I agree with that. Because, okay, hold on. Come on. The little children expect to play with each other when they go to school and so. And when you hear from yourself, when they cannot play and think they feel bad, would you believe a young guy told me what? He said he feels that he would have liked somebody to kill him because he can make a friend at school. I said, oh, Lord have mercy, no, don't say nothing like that. And it's important. A morning I was also listening to TV, and he said that the lady from England was telling somebody from America, there's so many numbers of people in the world, and yet the people are so lonely. And she was lamenting. She never thought that she would ever hear that people are so lonely. Yes, old people and things are very lonely in the house and so. So something really want doing about schools, especially to make children behave a little better. And another thing I want to say, Mr. Johnson, you're going to find me strange. I don't like sports. I get no joy in sports. I find sports to be too cruel. One young man must ride all up these hills and everything, 5,000 meters and all like that. No, they can cut out some of this strenuous thing from sports and make it more enjoyable and more pleasant for people to look at. I don't like sports.
Ma'am, I got to tell you, right? You're talking about people to look at. The fellas enjoy riding. It shows that they have stamina. It shows that they have endurance. They like pushing themselves to the limit. And let me tell you something, right? As someone who rides, it clears your head. You think clearly. And some of my most creative work, advertising-wise and writing scripts-wise, have come while I have been riding. It clears your head. You may not like looking at it, but I'm telling you, the people who do it enjoy it. They really, really do. The distance, the testing of their strength and their durability, you'll be surprised. As young boys, you talk about playing. You know, many times as young boys, especially during the summer, we'd sit down on Hilton Jetty talking foolishness, and suddenly somebody would say, let's swim to the deep water harbor. And all of us would jump in the water. Most of us never even make it past your club. But, you know, we wanted to swim to the deep water harbor. Some made it as far as Bay Street, and some, you know, just didn't make it at all. But anyhow, you know, look, the challenge is what drives you. The challenge. So, you know, you may not like to look at it, turn off the TV. As I tell people, we spend too much time watching TV. TV makes us lonely sometimes too. 434-1790, Brass Tacks.
Mr. Johnson.
Sir, Brother Nasser,
Mohammed,
how are you?
Nasser, how are you, sir?
I am good. Haven't heard you in a while. They're doing well.
God continue to bless you and your family with success and happiness.
I thank you, sir.
It's a breath of fresh air to be talking to you again, though, by the way. Let me tell you that up front. And before we go any further, I want the entire country again to continue to pray for Harold Hoyt. That is one of our most outstanding and distinguished brothers in this country and members of this country. Mm-hmm. And I am praying and I ask the entire country to pray for Harold Hoyt, that he will come and at least come back to us, that he still can talk to us and do good things for us. Now, the next thing I want to talk to you about, Mr. Johnson, you know the vagrants in town, right?
Yes, I do.
You sound a little far off.
No, sorry. Let me get back to where I was. Yeah.
All right.
That's better? Yeah.
Oh, and the way I talk, mm-hmm. You know the vagrants in town?
Mm-hmm.
You know if a vagrant tomorrow is to win the $4 million lotto, real people are moving on him, improving, encouraging how to invest in money, how to spend the money, everything, and he would not be a vagrant no more. He would be in a luxury
he'd be a millionaire.
Car and all kind and driving about, right?
He would be a millionaire.
But he know that the day that the money gone,
they gone.
He better find his spot back in town, which would be the vagrant spot he had before. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir, I do. I do.
Now, I tell all that because I want to tell you this. This government that we have here, this ugly government, all of a sudden they've got money to pay the civil servants. They've got money to do everything you can think on the sun. The country is in growth pattern. It locked into growth pattern. All kind of things. Mr. Johnson, the Barbadian people are to get foolish enough to give them more than two seats of so much in the next election. If they give them a chance to ever run the country again, the moment they take over, they're going to go back to the same thing that they're doing now. You hear me, Mr. Johnson?
I'm hearing you clearly, sir.
Good, no. Because once they're going back, they're going back to the same foolishness that they're doing now. Now, let me explain to you why. Because I want to talk to you about standards in Barbados, the dropping standards. The reason why this government runs itself in trouble, you had no experience at all with it when they went to office. The only body had any experience with David Thompson. When Tom Adams won this government, he had some of the best brains ever put together in a cabinet in this country to run this country. But because they had no experience, he went and got Sir Ronald Mott and Sir Mencia Cox and put them into the cabinet so that they would be able to guide and advise these outstanding young men and Mayor Motley, which was an outstanding young woman that he had. So he did not run himself into trouble because they had guidance.
Mm-hmm.
But this government came into office, no guidance, and all of a sudden they believed they could run a country. And that is why this country is in the mess it is in today. Now, Mayor Motley, God bless the Honourable Mayor Motley, when she comes into office, and I sure with God bless she can come in as Prime Minister, we'll have some serious backup. She have George Payne, Honourable George Payne. She has Honourable Dale Marshall. She has the Honourable Kerry Simmons and a few more. So when she take over the leader of this country, she will have guidance. The mistake that we made with this bunch of amateurs is that we forget you can't put amateurs to run a country. Now, I won't go into the stand. You know, you commend
because there was a comment I wanted to make. One of the things I think we also have to pay very close attention to, whoever forms the next government, is this. The practice that we have allowed to take control of our public service, where we've sidelined people because of their age, because of their party affiliations, or because we don't like them, has been to our detriment. Mm-hmm. We have shut out our elders, the people who can guide and nurture and tell us. There's nothing wrong with saying, I have a new policy and my policy is this. But you need people to implement your policy.
You need
people to tell you, that was tried before, here was where it failed, here was the reason why, let's find a way around that. Rather than saying, I run in the show here, you go so, I know what I'm doing. Because we have paid a dreadful price for doing that, sir.
That's right, Mr. Johnson. I want to say something else to you, too. You know, we all are starting talking in this country about standards. The truth is, Mr. John, when I was going to school, my fingernails had to be clean, my ears had to be clean, my hair had to be combed. In other words, I had standards set that the children could not fall below. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Mr. Johnson, that once you set standards, everybody always trying to get under the standards. So if you drop your standards and people try to get under the standards, you keep dropping
your
standards.
Even lower.
What are you going to have, Mr. Johnson? What do we have now?
We're going to have some limbo dancers.
Right. That's what we got now. A bunch of irresponsible people who do not understand that they must set standards to move a country forward and that you must not let anybody drop below those standards.
Mm-hmm.
And if they drop below those standards, must pay a price for it so that they will understand the seriousness of those standards. Now, I say all of that because the more I look around Barbados and I see what is happening in Barbados and I see a lot of things that are being ignored, that should never be ignored, the more I work out that the problem we have in Barbados is that the people who are prominent directors and leaders of the country are not known. And I'm going to call on Mayor Motley, when God bless her, to win this government. Every month or every month, all the senior people, the top policemen, maybe three or four, the people in the clergy that are top, the senior civil servants, they should be identified. The head teachers, the teachers of the country should be identified, because I know, and the pastors and so that, and I know that when people recognize people in authority, that they make adjustments so they would not be disrespectful. Am I wrong, Mr. Johnson?
So, no. The other thing is, I made a comment earlier to one of the callers, and I talked about our institutions, and it's a question of restoring pride and respect for our institutions, whether it's the police, the magistrates, judges, the various religious organizations. So what we've done, we've systematically marginalized or politicized too many of our institutions, so
that
people see. I remember, I think prior to the 2013 election, there were a number of callers who said, every time there's a change of government, they want the commissioner of police, the chief of staff of the defense force, the this person, that person to resign. And I keep asking myself, why do we want to go to that situation in a country of this size?
That's
you're going to tell me you're going to marginalize a whole set of professional people and politicize their office for the sake of what? Saying that I'm in charge? It don't make any sense to me.
That is why the country is in the country and the trouble is in today. Because if we were not doing that, we would still have a decently run and managed country. But the problem is that the leaders of the country are amateurs to management of a country. And that is what's causing the problem. Hence, they have brought a cloud of darkness over this country. And I am telling you, Mr. Johnson, we better soon get an election and get Mayor Motley and pray to God that she will bring some light by removing some of the nonsense that's creating the cloud so we can see again. This country, Mr. Johnson, has collapsed. And we have to make sure that we put the right people into place to try to restructure it.
So, well, one of the challenges we're going to have going forward is that the time we have may not be on our side. I personally believe it's going to be a long, hard climb. And the political divide in Barbados has become too sharp, I think, for a country of this size. Barbados has produced some outstanding citizens over the years and outstanding leaders. And I think we need to respect the offices they hold, the offices they've held, and to give them their due. I want to thank Graham Vaughan and Tamika Skeet for taking care of things technical. I want to thank you for contributing to this, the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. On behalf of the team, I'm Dennis Johnson. Have a good afternoon.